Tales of the Deimos, Story 2, The Man Who Wasn't There. I've only walked through the Deimos Hills once. That one experience was enough for me. Now, I always go around and I take the pike if I need to travel up toward the Duane, or I book passage on some ship if I need to go as far as Rej. I'm not saying I'll never travel the Astor Road again, but I'd rather not, and it would take something special to tempt me. I'd almost rather ride the Roar, but I'm not a young man, and the Roar would probably be the death of me. I was still a young man, though, when I walked from the farmlands outside Salina all the way down to Wayland's Keep. That is a distance, more than 100 leagues, and I was thinking of it like an adventure, my adventure. It was supposed to be the start of a life filled with more adventures, too, because I wanted to try out for the recruits up at the keep, and I thought I'd make myself into a guard. You know, back then, just like today, they only ran the tests once a year, and you got to be really fine to have them make an exception and take you out of cycle. Well, I figured I was fine, but I intended to take no chances, and I wanted to arrive in time for the test cycle. I convinced my folks to let me go down and give it a try. I thought I'd make my father proud. He'd served in the recruits as a young man, just after the Great War, and he told a lot of tales, the kind that would get the heart of any boy beating the sound of a drum. So, I planned to arrive down at the keep about a week or so before the tests. I'd convinced a friend of mine to travel with me, but at the last minute his mother persuaded them that he shouldn't stray so far from home. He wasn't too awful hard to sway. He was in love with a village girl, and she and his mama wheedled at him until he decided that he'd rather not wander. I see him every once on a time now, and he's fastened to the farmlands even tighter than he was then, a father 6 times over. And there was even some grandkids on my last visit. Wild things, grandkids. Keep a man young. I wonder sometimes if he took the more adventurous path after all. But, at the time, I thought he'd gone coward and woman-whipped, and I pitied him his choice. I was taking a different road for my life. My parents weren't happy about me traveling alone. Times were rough, even then, and even when it's uncommon, it's never unheard of for a man to be robbed if he's fool enough to walk alone. But I was stubborn, and I went anyway. They didn't try to stop me, really. My heart had already left the farm. No use keeping my body there. So I started off, and it wasn't too bad to walk alone. Most nights I'd find a pub or an inn and sit around talking with the locals or with other travelers, though there wasn't too many of those. My father wasn't a poor man, and he'd sent me off with enough to make a comfortable journey, and I was spending it pretty free. I guess that got noticed. I was a stupid kid, not to use a little discretion. The thugs who noticed my heavy wallet must have followed me a whole day without me taking note of it. I figure they saw me at the inn the night before and knew I wouldn't make another town the next day and figured they could harvest some pretty easy fruit. I was ripe for the picking. That day I was walking in the deeps of the Deimos and I was figuring to make camp whenever I come upon a likely spot. That didn't end up happening. While I was still looking around for even a not-so-likely spot to set up my tent and light my fire, they came at me from behind. There were 3 of them, and they were well-armed. I didn't have a chance. I remember that I was on my knees. I don't know if I fell or if one of them pushed me down. I started fumbling around trying to draw my knife. They'd already taken my sword, and then there was this clash of metal behind me, and I turned to see that someone seemed to be coming to my aid. He fought like a guardsman, and I remember figuring that he was. He wore his hair pulled back at the nape of his neck, and he wore a bandana like my father had when he was in the guard. The 3 men were all at him, and I was still feeling for my knife when suddenly the men were running away. They were screaming about something, but I couldn't understand what they yelled. I looked up at the man who was still standing there, and he laughed out loud. "I guess I scared them pretty good," he'd said, and he asked if I was all right. "I think so," I told him, "but they took my sword. It lay there on the ground," he pointed with his own sword, and sure enough, my sword was lying next to my pack on the ground. The moonlight shone on it. I was glad to have it. It had belonged to my father, and I would have rather lost my own life than that sword.
"You're making camp here soon?" the man asked me.
I was holding the sword up in the moonlight, practically worshipping it,
but I figure he understood. "Soon as I find a likely spot," I told him, and I sheathed my sword and swung my pack up on my shoulder.
"Well, I've got just the spot for you," he'd said. "Follow me." And I did. We walked maybe 50 or 60 feet down the road, and sure enough, there was as pretty a sight as you could draw in a picture. He sat down on a log under the shadow of a tree and watched me set up camp.
"You have a tent?" I remember asking him.
"I got me a bedroll," he'd said, "and that's more than enough for me."
"Suit yourself," I'd said,
and then, while I got a fire going and started a soup pot, we talked about the Great War. He knew even more stories than my father, and I was entranced by his voice. He could tell a tale. I suppose, now I think about it, to hear him once again would be a good reason to venture into the Deimos woods. So I listened to him tell his tales, and I told the tales I'd borrowed from my father, and the night wore on. He wasn't hungry, he told me, when I offered him some dinner, and so I ate the double portion I'd prepared for him and me, and I was quite content and full up and sleepy when the full moon rose to mid-sky and the night was almost light. I was just nodding my head into a doze by the fire when he stood and said he figured I'd have a safe night and he was going to head back down to his bed. I was surprised that he was planning to leave the fireside, but I stood up to bid him farewell. He moved out from the shade of the trees, and I realized by moonlight what I'd been too fool to notice in the twilight. Then I froze. My heart froze first and pumped a chill through my body until I stood before him like a statue made of ice. I was terrified, and I felt the sweat drip off me as though I was really an ice man, melting. What did I see? The man was made of mists. He wasn't solid at all. In the moonlight, the trees behind him were visible through his hubric, and I saw the ground below us through his outstretched hand. He laughed out loud again, same as he had when the robbers had turned and run. "I don't suppose you could shake my hand, even if you tried. It's a lot of effort to take a solid form, and I save that up for fights, or—" And here he smiled a little bashfully. "Sometimes I walk a mile or so with a group of travelers. They don't need to know I'm dead, and it gets pretty lonely down in the grave." I stepped backward then, and I tripped over my tent lashings. "You get some sleep," he told me. "You don't need to worry about anything tonight. I'm a light sleeper myself, and I'll wake if you need me." Then he turned. He waved his hand as he was turning and walked away. You probably won't believe it, but I did sleep like a baby that night. I guess I was too surprised to realize that I was still afraid. But the next morning I hightailed it out of there in record time, and I traveled quick and careful until I got myself free of the Deimos Hills.